Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello again, welcome to this week's Man of the Post Extra Time. I'm El Hosto Chris. With me this week, I've got Emma. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Grand, thank you very much. And we got Adam Scott Allen. How are you?
Why did I get full name? Don't full name me. I don't need the internet knowing exactly who I am.
Well, I tell you what.
Don't you dare full name me again. I'll come at you with blades.
I've full named Adam, but are those names in the right order?
Take
your time. There you go. No one will ever know.
Good point. It's a code. You can't crack it.
So here we are, Emma and either an Australian golfer or American actor. Nudge, nudge. Taps nose. And we're going to be talking about the Premier League games that happened, games that are going to come this weekend, bits and bobs of leagues, other results around the world. And let's go. So, Tuesday night, we'll start in North London. Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0. Leandro Trossard with a goal. Ben White with 2 goals. Kai Havertz with 2 goals, which led to some very funny, petty social media reactions from Chelsea, not naming Kai Havertz, as they just sort of put Arsenal goal scorer or something down. If you were to say...
Wow.
Yeah. If you were to say to Chelsea after they beat Everton 6-0 that in a week's time their goal difference would only be one better, their fans wouldn't have been happy with you. Did anyone see this at all?
I mean, I had it on.
Yeah.
But I will admit that I checked out after the first 2 goals.
Was it literally they were missing Cole Palmer and nobody else was up to the task? Or was it Nicholas Jackson?
Yeah, not the glue that holds this all together.
Nicholas Jackson not taking his chances as well?
That's his thing, right?
That's what he does. He misses chances.
What he does. Yeah.
What do you reckon? Is that a huge lack of confidence for him, or you know, he just needs one to go in and then he's away, or is he just not very good?
No, he is good. I remember him playing for Villarreal last season in La Liga, and he scored a few goals. And I don't really know what the issue is here. He just joined Chelsea and got ruined like everyone else.
Is Chelsea the issue?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yes,
Caicedo was good last season, right?
I mean, they were all good last season, weren't they? Enzo Fernandez won a World Cup.
Yeah, a lot of them were good for different clubs, though, weren't they?
Yes, this is
Chelsea.
True. No, exactly that. So, yeah, was it just literally a lack of Cole Palmer? But, I mean, Cole Palmer can't defend as well, and 5 goals did go in. So, it can't simply be that, can it?
No. I don't think it's that easy.
No. There was a banner in the Chelsea end saying, "I don't want your shirt, I want you to fight for ours." So there's obviously some discontent from the fans, and it seems to be aimed towards the players rather than the manager.
I mean...
That is the easiest trick to play as a Chelsea manager, though, isn't it? You blame it on the rats deserting the sinking ship.
Yeah, I guess you do.
I'm looking at you, Hazard. I'm looking at you, Cesc. I'm looking at you, the other one.
So Diego Jota. Diego Jota. I mixed up Diogo Jota and Diego Costa.
It was Diego Costa, you're right.
They're different guys.
No, I know. I was so desperate not to say Diogo, I forgot about the surname.
Wonderful.
There you go. If anything, I was trying too hard.
Yeah,
a little bit. So, hang on, let me just get my BBC Sport app up, and let me just have a little look where... Little look where Chelsea are in the league, because...
It's like 10,
higher
right?
than you think they'd be.
Yeah, this is what we talked about last week, wasn't it, Emma? They're 9th. They are...
one place higher than I thought they were.
They are 6 points behind Manchester United in 6th. So let's just say 6th or 7th gets you into Europe. I mean, they still have that to play for.
But they're like 30 points behind Arsenal.
Is the Conference League something to play for?
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, I guess so many teams have ended up in Europe accidentally and have had a bad season in the league afterwards, haven't they?
Also, it's one thing winning the Europa Conference League if you're West Ham. it's another thing if you're Chelsea and you have two Champions League titles.
I guess so. Were Chelsea not in Europe at the start of this season? I don't think they were they?
No.
Yeah.
But so, were they?
I don't think they were, because when people were saying a year out of Europe will do Chelsea and Pochettino good, well, it's not really worked out, has it?
Not really.
No.
Yeah, imagine what it would have done if it had done them harm.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, well, let's move on that to Wednesday night. So Wolves nil, Bournemouth 1, goal from Semenyo. Wolves had a goal disallowed for a foul in the build-up by Justin Kluivert. On Justin Kluivert before the cross came in for Hwang to score. That was given by Stuart Atwell of VAR infamy. He made the ball on VAR himself.
Some of us remember Stuart Atwell from the Reading Ghost goal.
Oh, was it him?
Infamy. Yeah, okay. He was a calamity before it was cool, Chris.
Also, is it a little mean to single him out as just being the VAR calamity when that's everybody in England who does it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, looking back at the Forest highlights last week, I think...
Is the VAR calamity from the weekend?
Yeah, which VAR calamity are we talking about?
Well, I mean, we were talking about the one with Stuart Atwell in Nottingham Forest, which led to them publicly...
Pooing
themselves.
Any this season, according to that.
Right. Sorry, I was persona non grata during the weekend. So.
Oh, have you literally not seen any of this?
I know of it, but I haven't seen any of it. I was in Dublin.
What were you doing in Dublin?
Just seeing what's there. Answer, not a lot.
What is there? Is there a Guinness factory?
He's chasing the joint.
Is there a Guinness factory and then just fields?
I did go to a Guinness factory. Yeah.
Did you? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It was fine. Did you go to Craggy Island?
No, I just went to Dublin, Chris.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Would you recommend it? How many would you give it out of five on TripAdvisor?
2.5 stars.
Two and a half?
Wow.
Yeah.
Emma, one of my favourite Man of the Post episodes was years and years ago, where I don't think there was any football on, so people were reading out. Were people going? I think it was possibly Adam doing the reading. They were going to famous places like the Eiffel Tower and reading out TripAdvisor reviews and like the one-star TripAdvisor reviews. And I think Adam read out that someone gave Auschwitz a one-star review because
that was me.
There was too much walking to be done.
Yeah. Not a good enough selection at the gift shop.
Yeah.
Real bad vibes. Yeah,
it felt like a terrible place. Yeah. Wolves have lost 4 out of 6. They seem to be going on that good run. There was talk of Gary O'Neill being mentioned for the Liverpool job this week, but that seems to have died of death with Arnie Slot being mentioned. Is Arnie Slot a funny name, or is it just me?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, good. Fair enough. That's fine.
Especially when one of my friends in a different WhatsApp group suggested that him talking himself up for the Liverpool job whilst still being employed was a rather sloppy thing to do.
What? Was that your West Ham XG WhatsApp group?
It was.
Was it? There you go. What else have we got? Crystal Palace 2, Newcastle 0, 2 goals from Mateta. They are 8 goals for Mateta since taking over, or since Glasner took over in February. They're now safe. They've won 3 games in a row. Newcastle felt they should have had a penalty at 1-0. Will Hughes with a foul on Sean Longstaff. But that wasn't given. Anybody see the highlights of this game?
No, of course not.
Okay.
That was a low-key fun, though.
Yeah, and low-key good. What game was it we were watching the other day, Emma, when I said they were low-key good?
It was when they beat Liverpool.
Oh! Yeah.
I feel you two been scripting.
I enjoy that.
I feel you two been scripting beforehand.
No, it's just who we are as people.
I'd love to say you had scripted that, Chris. But it genuinely, that was organic.
Okay, fair enough.
It's very much just who we are as people, I'm sorry.
Manchester United 4, Sheffield United 2, goals from Harry Maguire, 2 from Bruno Fernandes, 1 from Rasmus Højlund. Jane Bogle did give Sheffield United the lead in a rather...
Bless you.
I was going to say, bless you. Is it you allergic to all these plants in your house? Is this what it is? Oh, he's dead. He's killed over and died.
And with that, he
died. Sorry, it's also the remnants of a chest infection that I have.
Oh, okay. Fair play for dying and keeping the record button still on. That's professionalism to the very end, that is.
His last words were, Crystal Palace is low-key good.
Imagine that on his headstone.
Cut me and I bleed down on the post.
His last words were Christy. Man, you could have come in with anything profound or anything, but they were your last words.
I think that is quite profound.
Yeah, so did anyone see the goal that Sheffield United opened scoring with, the Andre Onana pass?
No, but
wait,
I
what?
Can imagine
Hold
it was
on.
Hilarious.
I didn't see it, but just context clues have suggested that something's wrong there.
Yes, so they were sort of trying to ticky-tacker their way out of defence with a short pass, and Andre Onana gave the ball straight to a Sheffield United player, and Jaden Bogle ended up scoring.
Ah, wrong player, wrong shot.
Yeah. Sheffield United now conceded 92 goals. That's the most of any team in a 38 Premier League season. There's four games left for the Magic 100, which only Swindon Town achieved, but that was in a 42... game season. So,
I think they could do it.
Yeah,
they could do it. 100%.
Would you be going for it if you were there?
Yeah, sometimes I think you want to set unbreakable records.
Yeah, I mean that's what they're there for, aren't they? To be broken.
Yeah, you want to go down in history.
Yeah,
and if you're about to smash something that's not been done in so long, like if anything, go for 115.
Don't say so long. 1994 seems like 10 minutes ago.
Go for 115. Make it unbreakable.
Yeah, really lean into it.
Well, yeah. I mean, ancient old people like myself will remember that Swindon literally got there with the very last kick of the game. It was Chris Fairclough scored a fifth goal for Leeds in like the 93rd minute of the last game of the season. That's how they ended up conceding their 100th goal. So they played through to the bitter end.
This weekend.
That's like it's going the complete opposite way with it, isn't it? But that's like Gabriel Jesus scoring that goal against Southampton to get City 100 points.
Yes, yes.
Right at the very end.
Exactly that. Erik ten Hag, he's been beefing with the media this week. He called their reaction to, he called the media's reaction to United's win against Coventry in the Cup semi-final as embarrassing and a disgrace. Reporters from The Sun, The Daily Mirror and The Manchester Evening News were allowed to attend Friday's pre-Premier League press conference, but they weren't allowed to ask any questions. Emma, this isn't a great way to get the...
What kind of press conference has the journalist there, but none of... Like, what was it? Just... That's a PowerPoint presentation.
Other journalists were allowed to ask questions. They weren't.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, it was journalists from the Mirror of the Sun and the Manchester Evening News weren't allowed to ask questions. They were allowed to attend. That's not going to get the media on your side, is it? Bearing in mind you're fighting to keep your job.
It's got Donald Trump vibes, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. That is, like, Ten Hag's just reading a prepared statement about how awful all of the journalists are that are in the attendance.
Very
Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's nothing good can come from that if you're him.
No, whereas he's there going to... We've got a great team, we've got the best team.
Yeah, you can literally say anything, couldn't you? And then every time someone goes to ask a question, you go, nope, hand down.
They have a bigly amount of confidence.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thursday, Brighton 0, Manchester City 4. Goals from Kevin De Bruyne, 2 from Phil Foden, and 1 from Carlos Alcaraz.
I think something else happened on Wednesday.
Chris. Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. I was going to talk about that in a bit when we got to the Premier League preview. We will get to it.
I'm not sure I believe you.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Brighton 0, Manchester City 4, Kevin De Bruyne with the header, Phil Foden with 2 goals, Carlos Alcaraz, City... Oh, so it's Julian Alcaraz. What's his name? Did I say Carlos Alcaraz?
You did.
Sorry. What's his name? Julian Alvarez, isn't it?
Yeah, Julian.
That's the one. It's all the same. City are a point behind Arsenal with the game in hand. And Mark Goldbridge, the famous YouTuber, he switched this off. He was so bored.
Sorry, Griff, I want to suggest that I've got a policy, a system, yeah. Honestly, if you're on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, any league game, but it only applies to league games, not cup games.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 3-goal lead,
yeah,
game's over.
Game's over.
Yeah, game's over. If you get 3-0 up.
What if you've paid good money to go and watch it and travel a long way to go watch it and it gets called off after half an hour?
Well, your TV should have been better and not conceded the 3 goals. Also, watch what happened. Did you not watch all the Brighton fans leave, Chris? They all left.
They did, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Manchester City fans didn't, and they would have been forced to have a game curtailed.
But do you not think they would have liked to have been on the road sort of 40 minutes earlier back to Manchester for a long journey?
Well, no. How about instead, if you score 3 goals or more, you get the number of points you get is how many goals you score.
No, because I'm trying to end. I'm trying to get dead games off, just get rid. Also, think about it, Chris. They're 2-0 up.
Yeah.
They're desperate for a rest, and they're pushing for this third goal.
Yeah.
Calamity strikes. They concede. The momentum switches.
I feel this is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Now it's 2-1.
Yeah.
And it's all to play for. Whereas it could just be a boring 2-0 game. They just sit on the lead. They just play the game out.
I mean, that's fine for you because you're not a match-going fan. If the game's over after half an hour, you can go walking up and down the sort of local A roads finding flowers of people that have been killed in car crashes and take them home to water. So that's fine for you. But if you're a match-going fan that's travelled 4 hours to get there,
yeah,
then it's a waste of your...
Wouldn't you want to get home early?
But you think those people are there for the 90 minutes, or do they want to see the win, or do they want to end the pain of a defeat quickly?
Yeah, they could get a win 3-0, and get home an hour earlier.
No.
No.
Okay, this is a terrible idea. I think my idea is better.
Your idea is rubbish.
Why is it rubbish? Why is my idea rubbish? Score 4 goals, get 4 points. Also encourages losing teams to attack as well.
So does mine.
No, encourage them to score their own goals so they can go home early.
That is another option, but also, I respect that.
No, my idea is much better. Hey, should we move on to news? Marta has...
There was another game on Wednesday. There was another midweek game.
I told you we'd get into that later.
Yeah, and he doesn't believe you.
Emma, do you believe me?
Oh, God.
Emma,
your silence is more than real words ever could, Emma.
Emery Wemery, do you believe me?
I'm a conscientious objector. I refuse to be used as a pawn in your war.
Oh, God, go on then.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay.
The elephant, the blue elephant in the room.
Right, bear with me then. Bear with me, caller. I've got to find the bloody... Right, okay, let's talk about it then. Solihull Moors 4, Halifax Town 2 in the English National League promotion qualifying round.
Well, yeah.
That's what we're on about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
That's what we're on about.
Adam, yes, let's talk about that. I'm a big Halifax Town fan and you're a massive Solihull Moors fan.
Was that the team that won?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be right in this.
Did they win convincingly?
They won 4-2, so Solihull Moors will now face Barnet in the semi-finals.
Yeah, you see, the problem with this, Emma, is Everton never looked like they were going to concede two goals. Like
that is true, yeah.
Oh, okay, let's talk about that one then. My idea, I explained to Emma earlier on, my idea was to put this off to say, we'll cover it later in the pod and then hope you forget about it. Which I guess was an impossible thing.
So I was right not to believe you.
You were right not to believe me. So, goals from Jarrad Branthwaite and a rather powerful header.
I can't believe your plan didn't work.
I know.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Thanks for selling me down the river.
I didn't. I was silent.
Exactly. Yes. Your silence is compliance. Goals from Jarrad Branthwaite and a big Dominic Calvert-Lewin header gives Everton their first derby win since 2010, at which point my now teenage daughter was still in nappies. It was that long ago.
Wait, I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's the first win at Goodison.
Oh, first home derby win, sorry, yes. Jordan Pickford also saved from Darwin Núñez and Luis Diaz. Jarrad Branthwaite got a block on the line. On the Football Weekly pod, I did hear Everton wanted this more. I mean, Goodison Park looked quite packed and noisy. You seemed first to sort of second balls and 50-50s and all that sort of thing. That's not a really unfair thing to suggest, is it? It seems quite accurate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wouldn't even say that Everton were particularly good. It was quite a, like you say, a sort of, they had some hustle. It was gritty. And Liverpool have continued what has been, over the last couple of weeks, a sort of rapid decline.
I was a bit of you not rather knocked, wondering where this Everton has been for the previous 34 games.
No, because I didn't think they were actually good. I just felt that there was a bit of a battle. And while we haven't been great, actually, if you add 8 points, it's just been mediocrity, hasn't it?
Yeah. You don't feel like you're sort of circling the drain for one more season?
No, not quite. I think that, we'll see how things play out financially with everything else, which is a continued worry. But in terms of this, it was nice to ruin another... another Liverpool title challenge with them in a Merseyside derby in the running. That's two now.
So you're all for tracksuit Dyche then, rather than suit and tie Dyche?
The man doesn't suit a suit and tie.
Sorry?
If the suit and tie feels performative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, fair enough. Emma, Liverpool, do you think they're knackered or do you think they're sort of wiltering under the weight of Klopp leaving? What do you think it could be this last couple of weeks that's seen them sort of fall down so badly?
They did look very tired, I will say that.
Yeah. Which one do you think it is, Chris?
I think 2 seasons ago they played pretty much every game that was possible to play. They literally played every game that was possible to play.
A lot of these players weren't here 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So last season, yeah, listen, this is all part of my point, don't worry. So yeah, they had that knackering season a couple of seasons ago. You saw that drop off last season, and you've seen that they had to rebuild an entire midfield this season. So I think it's a combination of a new midfield getting to learn and play with the rest of the team, the knackered team from the previous couple of seasons. There's a lot of players getting old at the same time as well. Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah.
Oh, that's what his problem is. He's old.
He's old. They're a little bit behind sort of Henderson and Fabinho who have gone. But, you know, Thiago's also not been available as well and he's getting on a bit. So I think there's a mixture
Sure, hold on. But what you're saying here is a lot of those things sound like things that you're trying to... that could potentially be pinned on a whole season or maybe earlier in the season, like when you talk about a new midfield. I think that there's been a drastic sort of drop-off in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Since the Man United game?
Well, I think you're right. And I think what Liverpool has shown this season is that they have an awful lot of shots, but not... I'd love to know their shot conversion ratio during the season, because it seems to me they have an awful lot of possession, an awful lot of shots, but they don't take half the chances they should do. And I think that Man United Cup game was a really good case in point. You think of all the possession they had in that game, and they've lost. They had really good possession against United again, drew 2-2. And the Palace game, possession, lost 1-0, not taking chances. I think that's what's really cost them this season. Not being prolific enough in front of goal. Amongst many things, probably cost them. And it might be to do with...
Sure, okay, but again, let's narrow it down to the two things then. Do you think that this sort of 3-4 week period of form that Liverpool are currently in is more Klopp related or more fatigue related?
Both, I think. I don't think it's necessarily one thing, and I didn't get a history degree by arguing one particular thing. I feel like you're David Brent and I'm Dawn, and you're trying to get me to say that I'm the father figure to you, or you're the father figure to me.
No. I'm genuinely interested.
Oh, okay.
I put my cards on the table. I thought that they were knackered. But I wonder whether there is something a bit more there psychologically around the Klopp departure.
Yeah. I wonder,
should they really care about that though? They're professional managers.
They shouldn't.
Move around all the time.
They shouldn't, but I think that they do. And I think that Klopp's obviously such a... Because while he's undoubtedly had a high level of success being at an elite club, because of what he's done in terms of breaking that period of the Premier League title, he's going to go down in history. So it's a big deal
for anything.
And I think there will be part about wanting to have given him the necessary send-off or whatever. And I wonder whether when you then lose that Man United game, whether that becomes... That's like the first chink in the... Where you're like, oh, fuck. We were in... At that point, you're in four competitions, right?
Yeah, and
You've already won one of them. You're on for winning four, and you... That's not going to happen, and then it just falls apart.
And you're right. Maybe looking at it from a different point of view, maybe instead of it being a drop-off, knowing that he's going, maybe they ramp the pressure up, knowing he's going. This is like our chance to win something, and they've copped it up through piling the pressure on themselves. They won. When they're in four competitions when they announced he was going, they very quickly dropped out of three of them. I mean, they won the first one, but they very quickly dropped out of three. And maybe that's not a drop-off of, oh, he's going, I'm going to drop off that 5%.
Because he announced he was leaving before the end of last year. Not quickly. It's been months. This is slow, lingering drop-off.
It's been a couple months. I don't think it's been quick.
No, I don't think it's been quick. I think they just got tired. They ran out of gas. I don't think it's anything to do with Klopp. I think they just got tired because they had to overcompensate when there was a fuck ton of injuries.
Yeah, and I think the team...
And now they're paying the price for it.
The team has got a World... It's got at least one World Cup winner. It's got Premier League champions in there. It's got people that have won other trophies as well. I don't think the manager announcing his leaving is going to make all those winners go, oh, well, that's it then. I don't understand that, but I think you're probably right in the fact there's a huge degree of tiredness. Not Virgil van Dijk, no. Or the ghost of Virgil after he was murdered by Jordan Pickford. Okay, well,
that explains his performance. He got the whip.
That's why everyone can kick the ball for him. He's just a ghost.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's move on. So we will talk about bits and bobs and news. So Marta has announced she's going to retire from international football after the Olympics. She got a silver medal in Athens 2004. and Beijing 2008. 17 goals in 23 games at the Olympics. She's the owner of one of the greatest quotes in sport ever: smile at the beginning so you can, or cry at the beginning so you can smile at the end. Emma, what is she to Brazilian and ladies football in general? What has she done? What's her legacy?
She's
no ladies football.
What? Is it not? Sorry. Women, ladies.
I just think ladies.
Girls.
Ladies, so, I don't know.
Do you think
she's a legend? She's a pioneer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a legend, and I hope she gets the. I hope they win the gold medal, just so she can go out on a high.
So her legacy is more than being a Brazilian footballer. Yeah. She's a sort of a legend of the game rather than just a Brazilian
team.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Adam's completely thrown me by when I said lay up. Was it like in a sort of, I say ladies, was that why you shouldn't say?
It sounds like a weird mix of posh and condescending, and I don't think you obviously didn't mean it to be condescending, but I think it just that term, I don't know, like when they, like in Wimbledon, when it's the ladies,
yeah, I hate that.
I'm rubbing my legs as I'm saying it, that sort of thing.
It's posh and condescending at
okay.
the same time.
I should try and not say it because we're going to talk about it again in a minute.
Just call it women's football.
I will.
Whore football.
What did you say?
Whore football.
Whore football?
Wow, Jesus.
What did you say?
Fucking hell.
Well, that's the title of this show.
What did you call it?
I just said whore football.
Oh, whore football.
You know, as in like it doesn't need a prefix.
Okay,
fair. It certainly doesn't need to be called poor football.
I did wonder where you were going. Stephen Warnock, Liverpool.
Sometimes I think I think the problem with Hickness is quite often these Freudian slips say more about you than they do about anyone else.
That means I need a hearing aid. Stephen Warnock has talked about how he contemplated suicide after ill-advised financial advice left him with little as 3 hours sleep for 6 years. His marriage ended. He lost contact with his children after retirement.
Sorry, what? 3 hours sleep in 6 years? That's not enough.
No, a night. He said, I retired at 35. I probably mentally retired at 31. There's a really, really good book. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's literally called Retired. And it's what happens to Premier League footballers after they retire. And it's quite a sad story. It's very interesting. It's quite a sort of sad tale of bankruptcy, depression, divorce and infidelity. And some people have had all of those, unfortunately. So it's...
The Holy Trinity.
But it's a really good book if you get a chance to read it. Morocco team Renaissance Berkane. They've been awarded a 3-0 win over USM Algiers in the CAF Confederations Cup, which is like the Europa League equivalent, after their kit was confiscated by Algerian customs. The shirt for the team features a sort of kit design with an extended map of Morocco, which goes into the disputed Western Sahara region, which Algeria and Morocco claim. So the Moroccan players stayed in the changing room, refused to come out because they didn't have any kit to wear. CAF gave them a 3-0 win, and now USM Algeria are saying they're going to take the case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So keep your eyes on that one. Asian Champions League semi-final second leg, Yokohama Mariners 2, Ulsan HD of South Korea 3. Yokohama Mariners won that 5-4 in penalties. Yokohama Mariners managed by Harry Kuehl. Previously managed by Ange... Sorry?
Who knew?
Previously managed by Ange Postecoglou. El Ain of UAE beat Al Hilal, or lost 2-1 at home to Al Hilal, but they won 5-4 in aggregate. It is the Central Asian Football Association Under-18s Women's Tournament, which has been great. This has been streamed on YouTube, so it's really been quite fun to watch. Host Tajikistan bounced back for a 3-0 loss to Kyrgyzstan as they beat Turkmenistan 3-0. What?
This is arguably the most scraping of the barrel you have ever done.
This has been good fun. I've watched them.
He's genuinely been watching it. He sent me a screenshot. One day this week, I can't remember when it was. It was a bumper crowd of no people.
So much content in the world, Chris, and this is what you choose to engage.
Hold us around.
Chris has finished Netflix.
I've done Netflix. I've done Three Body Problem. That's really good. I'm on Fallout now on Prime. That's great fun.
Great video game.
I've never seen the video game. I'll play the video game, but the TV series is quite good fun. How does Iran beat Turkmenistan 7-0, then Tajikistan 5-0? Uzbekistan beat Turkmenistan 9-0. So Iran are on 9 points. Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan are both on 6. Tajikistan on 3 and Turkmenistan are on 0 points. Emma, if you want to watch this, it's on the Central Asian Football Association's YouTube channel for free. Although my stream did break down this afternoon with the Iran game, unfortunately.
Wow.
I am shocked.
And weirdly, for no people in the crowd,
the person in the crowd need to take their dog around the back to do the bathrooms there to turn the stream off?
Well, I tell you what, someone in the crowd, it must be the only person, blew an enormous horn the whole time. Actually, Adam, you'd like this. When Iran won today, when they scored their first goal, the goal scorer did a Tim Cahill celebration.
I think you've got a very low bar for what you think things I think I would enjoy.
Would you not enjoy that?
No.
Oh, fair enough. It was the UEFA Youth League final on Monday as Olympiacos beat Milan 3-0. This is a really good tournament. I was quite annoyed I missed the final, but it's been great entertainment all year. Either through watching the football...
Why did you miss the final? Did it clash with one of your naps?
One of my what, sorry?
One of your naps.
Maths? Married at First Sight?
No, naps. You need this hearing aid.
Naps?
Yeah, you know those times you told me about where you go to sleep at work?
Oh, naps! I've never told you about sleeping at work. Absolutely not. If anyone from my work is listening to this. It's a lie, a blatant lie, and my lawyers will be in touch. No, this is quite good fun, because you will see...
Will they, Chris Effingham?
You will see people like Robbie Van Persie and Fernando Torres and Alvaro Arbeloa managing on the sidelines. You will see Son of Emil Heskey playing, and they're quite well attended, and they're quite good fun. So definitely worth watching next season. It's quite an open thing. So Olympiacos won this season, AZ Alkmaar won last season. 3 goals in 6 minutes from the Alkmaar onwards. The first was a penalty, saw Olympiacos through after they beat, I think it was in a semi-final last week. CONCACAF Champions League semi-first legs, Club America 1, Pachuca 1, and Columbus Crew 2, Monterrey 1. I don't know his first name, but someone with a surname, Russell Rowe, scored, which is quite funny. Sounds like Russell Crowe.
Oh, wow.
I thought Chris just really liked alliteration.
Roy Keane has been talking about footballers and podcasts. Let me just bring the screen.
He's on like 3 of them.
Well, current footballers of podcasts.
Before he starts throwing stones.
I would argue that just in general, there are too many podcasts these days.
Wow. Agreed.
As a society, we need to have a moratorium on this. Maybe a one in, one out situation.
I do think celebrities who host podcasts is my unpopular opinion, but there's a circle of hell waiting for them. Podcasts are like this, people in their bedrooms and in their houses doing something like this. It's not shouldn't be a viably commercial thing. It's my opinion.
Okay.
There we go. Anyway, Roy Keane.
I don't go as far as you on this one, but I'm sure that we could form a broad coalition.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yes, so Roy Keane. Who thinks Roy Keane thinks footballers doing podcasts is a good thing?
Oh, I already know what he thinks. He had to go at Mikel Antonio, right?
He did. Well, he didn't name him personally, but he said...
But Mikel Antonio got the
He did. He said, I think podcasts can be a distraction for a player, particularly if you're on the back of a defeat and you're in the next day and everyone is having a bit of a laugh. I don't think you should laugh for a week or two after you've been beaten. and Mikel Antonio said he was this is a dinosaur mentality. So every time you lose a football match, you're not allowed to smile for 2 weeks. It doesn't matter if your child's just given birth or walked for the first time or whatever.
Hold on. Hold on. How old is this player whose child has just given birth, but they're still playing elite level football?
Okay. Oh, actually, no, in Serie C this season, a father had played with his son, so your son, I guess, could give birth, or help someone give birth.
I don't think his son's going to give
birth. His son's not going to give birth, His son could help a lady give birth. Oh, God, anyway, let's move on.
A lady?
A lady? I've done it again.
Chris, do we need to have the talk about the birds and the bees?
John Terry, let's talk about John Terry instead.
Hold on, let's stay on this routine thing for a second.
Go on.
Because I think I don't necessarily agree with them. But what I will say is I don't think that this is performative. I think Roy Keane believes what he's saying.
I don't think it's performative, no. I think Roy Keane is you get what you see with Roy Keane.
I think that's how Roy Keane was wired.
Yes.
But what he can't appreciate is, or maybe, and probably the thing that led to him maybe not necessarily being a great manager is the fact that he can't seem to engage or appreciate the fact that not everyone is wired like him.
Yes, yeah, I think that's it.
He can appreciate that they aren't, but he just thinks they're wrong.
Yeah. Who's seen John Terry in the news today?
Today, is this the thing that Ross shared?
I didn't see him share something. This is about him being on a podcast talking about AVB. Andre Villa,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, Ross shared that.
And, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
John Terry made himself look like a right twat.
Go on, what did he do?
Well, it's when he talked about refusing to let the plane take off because he had to sit in economy.
Yeah. Yeah, this, Emma.
Well, we've all been there.
As if he's going to storm the cockpit like Flight 93 or something, and this plane isn't taking off.
But what he said was that it was the way he was like, because it was something to do for. I didn't fully understand it, but for some reason, some of the younger players were sat in first class, and he was in economy, and he didn't like it, and he thought that it was AVB trying to make a statement on his first day, and then. Apparently because everyone loves John Terry so much, the youth academy players were like, oh no John, it's all right, we'll swap. And AVB was like, no, and he's like, no, AVB has to decide. And I'm like, you're kind of forcing him, you're telling him he has to agree with you, that's not him deciding.
You're not allowed to swap though, right, on a flight? Like, if that's your seat, that's your seat.
Oh, yeah, what if there's a crash?
Yeah,
maybe AVB just likes rules.
You know what? I think AVB does like.
I think you're right. Xavi's staying in Barcelona.
But more importantly, the thing to take away from this is it is the sheer sort of delusional level of just
entitlement.
Someone telling a story where they're making themselves look like a right cunt. They don't realise that they're the one who looks like a cunt in the story.
Yeah, but he was on the Simon Jordan podcast, and that's like a proper alpha male Simon Jordan thing to do. I reckon John Terry likes Andrew Tate.
You.
I reckon.
He does, though, doesn't he? He listens to Joe Rogan.
I reckon. Yeah, I don't know. I think Andrew Tate likes John Terry.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. Xavi, Emma, he's staying at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that and how long for?
I don't know. I feel like he's probably got lied to. Until 2025.
Well, that's only another year.
Yeah.
Well, no, but his contract ran until 2025 anyway.
And correct, he's just seeing out his contract.
So now he's just seeing out his contract. What I read was that he was staying until at least 2025, so he hasn't signed a new contract, but though
no, he's just agreed to see the rest of his contract.
He's agreed to stay, and I suppose the article I read suggested that the option to extend his contract would perhaps be entertained. I suppose it would depend on the severity of the lies.
I imagine they will be extreme.
Are you happy about this?
No, not really.
No?
Why not?
Because I think he should have stayed true to his word.
He said, butler.
Yeah. I mean, he said that he was doing it.
You
because
make a decision, you stick to that. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is it not a wise thing to do, though, from the club's point of view, considering both Liverpool and Bayern Munich will be looking for managers this, and probably Manchester United will be looking for managers this summer?
What, sack a manager who probably should be?
Or keep a manager that sort of has been working with these players and maybe get another manager next season when there's not the great competition for someone?
Well, I don't think that matters. I think people still want to come manage Barcelona.
Okay.
I think this is a win for Barcelona.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. But the reason I think it's a win is just because I think it's a challenging managerial market. I don't know who the hot tech. I don't know who you would want out there to replace Xavi if he wasn't going to stay.
Gareth Southgate, Graham Potter.
Sure, I mean, I get that, but he said that he was quitting because it was taking a toll on his health, his mental health, and his family, that his kids were getting bullied at school.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's gone, maybe my kids can tolerate that.
That feels like a Karen-esque lie to me.
Yeah.
That feels like the kind of thing that someone says and then you can never actually substantiate.
Well, sure.
And that what's the story, Chris? The man who took his blind mum to vote, and she shouted, "Which one's for leave?" And the crowd went wild.
The crowd cheered.
Yeah.
Sure, but I don't know. Is his heart really in it? Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure Laporta will have just lied to him and say, "Yeah, we're gonna have so much money to spend. We're gonna sign Mbappe. We're going to sign all of these players, and what will happen is nothing, and we will have to sell everybody and not replace them," which is what's going to have to happen anyway because of tremendous crippling debt.
Are there any sacred cows that you can't sell or won't be allowed to sell?
No, they're not anymore. Everyone's fair game.
Okay.
Well. Even the good boys like Pedri and Gavi and
because Yama. they're the pricey ones, they're the ones you can take to market for the most.
Exactly.
Yeah. They'll fetch the most gold coins.
Can't you send Lewandowski off to Saudi Arabia for 200 million euros or something?
The Liverpool way.
Yeah.
I wish they would, but I don't think that will happen.
No. Okay. Sexual Assault Corner is back, unfortunately. Two Premier League players have been arrested for rape, and also in Australia, Central Coast Mariners player Angel Torres has been charged with sexual assault. Central Coast Mariners have released a statement saying, given the alleged serious offences, Torres has been charged with. Football Australia immediately imposed a no-fault suspension. He's been released on bail. I've no idea.
Suspension, not sacking.
I don't know what a no-fault suspension is. It's... Sounds like you've not been found guilty of anything,
fired,
so
is it?
Yeah, you've not been found guilty of anything, so but we know it's a terrible thing, so we're suspending you, I guess.
Probably should be fired, yeah, though, right?
Well,
what do you mean, well?
Yeah, but it's essentially there needs to be due process. Let's get this person out of the limelight, out of our hair. So that's why. So we're suspending you. We're not putting any fault on you as yet.
Fucking fire him.
Yeah, but you can't fire someone just sort of because he hasn't been. That's essentially. I would imagine if you're. I think this is a good step. I would say that if you're doing this, then I would be far more confident that if once found guilty, he will be then fired.
I hope so.
And the two Premier League players arrested for it, I think they're both 19-year-olds, so I think there's going to be beady eyes across all sorts of Premier League team sheets this weekend for any 19-year-old players missing. Should they be named, do we think, or is it to protect the victim? It's probably a good idea if we don't name them.
anyone?
I mean, yeah, you probably don't want to name them.
No. Okay.
It's more fun guessing, right?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, that is the problem, though, isn't it? That is the problem in not naming them.
Yes.
It's the void that it fills.
Yeah.
Like, and then the speculation and the rumour, and it's like the what was it when Gylfi Sigurdsson was convicted, and the only two people it could have been were, because of the information that was released about them, was Gylfi or Fabian Delph, and poor Fabian Delph had to be like, well, that's not me.
Excuse me, right, final piece of news. Vitesse Arnhem have been punished after the Guardian investigation by the Guardian newspaper showed links to Roman Abramovich with the club. The club have been deducted 18 points, leave them on minus one, and therefore relegated from the Eredivisie after 35 years.
18? To put them on minus one is such a vindictive amount of
points. Yeah, it really is.
It very much feels like okay, we found them guilty. How many points should we deduct them? One less than how many ever made, and one more than how many they've got now. How many is that? 17.
In bits and bobs of Europe land, Real Madrid and Spain are on 81 points, Barcelona on 70, Girona 68. But it's a little bit more interesting in this last Champions League spot, as it says, Atleti are on 61 points and Athletic Bilbao are on 58. So Real Sociedad versus Real Madrid, Barca versus Valencia, Las Palmas versus Girona. But it is Atleti versus Athletic Bilbao. Emma, how do you think that one's going to go?
I think Atleti will probably win.
Yeah.
I'm not really basing that on much. I think they'll probably win.
They're not playing away.
But I hope Bilbao win.
Yeah, that'd be quite cute.
That'll be it. Yeah.
In Italy, Inter Milan are champions. On 86 points, they beat Milan in the derby on Monday to become champions. They're on 86 points. Milan are on 69, Juventus 64, Bologna are on 62, four ahead of Roma in fifth place. So it is Juve versus Milan, Inter Torino, Bologna versus Udinese, and Napoli versus Roma. In Germany, Bayer Leverkusen champions, of course, on 80 points and unbeaten. Bayern Munich on 66, Stuttgart 63, Red Bull Leipzig on 59, and 2 points behind them, just outside the Champions League places, are Dortmund on 57. So it's Bayern versus Frankfurt, Bayer Leverkusen versus Stuttgart, but it is RB Leipzig versus Dortmund. Adam, how do you think that one's going to go?
That's right, it's RB Leipzig, not Red Bull Leipzig. They are not named after Red Bull.
No.
Absolutely not. 1,000 times no.
Who's going to win that one?
Dortmund, obviously.
Yeah, okie dokie. In France, PSG are on 69 points, Monaco 58, Brest 53, Lille 52, and Nice on 48, 4 points out of those Champions League places. Manchester United fans, that's your Ineos for you. PSG versus Le Havre, Lyon versus Monaco. Lyon are scrambling up that table after their terrible start. Strasbourg versus Nice, Metz versus Lille, Rennes versus Brest. Elsewhere, we have got... the CAF Champions League semi-final second leg. Esperance de Tunis are 1-0 up and in aggregate against Melanie Sundowns. TP Mazembe are against Al Ahly. It's 0-0 in that. Who is all over the Finnish second division?
It's my favourite league.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you will be aware then of VJS versus Sexy Poxit, who are currently bottom of the league, having played two and lost
two. Sexy.
Well, it literally translates as sexy pants. That's the name of their team.
Good for them.
Yeah, so we will be keeping an eye on sexy pants as we carry on through the forthcoming weeks. We're nothing if not highbrow.
That's us.
And as we go from sexy pants to the women's Champions League semi-final second legs.
Oh, man.
There you go. Seamless. Chelsea are 1-0 up for the first leg. They're at home to Barcelona, and I think they're pretty much expecting a sellout at Stamford Bridge. I think they've been sort of pushing pretty hard to sell all the tickets. Lyon versus PSG. Lyon are 3-2 up from the first leg, and they're at home. But, okay, let's talk about Stamford Bridge then. Chelsea versus Barcelona. Emma, are you confident?
No.
No?
Hey, look, in the first leg, Chelsea played the perfect game.
Okay.
So I can't, how can you be confident? But I will say that we have been to Stamford Bridge and beaten them pretty handily before. So, you know, not confident, but they can do it for sure.
What happened to that all-conquering, storm-trooping Barcelona team of a couple of years ago?
They're still there.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, you sound a lot less confident talking about them than when you did at that time. What's changed?
I'm trying to be reasonable.
Okay. reasonable in what sense?
Sport can't hurt me anymore.
What's changed then? Are they not the all-powerful team of a couple of years ago? Are they?
Well, look, when you lose the first leg, because a team's like played the perfect game against your team, then how can you be confident, like supremely confident, that you're just gonna go, no, they won't do the same thing again and fuck them up?
So the first leg was, it's not been indicative of Barcelona season. So Barcelona's still an excellent team.
No, of course not.
Okay, so it's still an excellent team. It's just they came up across a very well drilled Chelsea team. Okay, sorry.
Exactly,
I didn't know if there's some sort of steady decline for the team or something.
No, they're not Liverpool.
Emma?
What?
I was mean.
Yeah.
Jessie wouldn't have done that.
She would.
Actually, speaking of news, did you see what I sent today, which I was hoping you were going to translate?
No, I haven't seen, but I'll look later.
Oh, okay. It was like a video of Wanda and Mauro Icardi sort of sat in bed together enjoying the sun and making each other breakfast and stuff. And then there's sort of, it's all in Spanish underneath. And what about Lyon PSG? What do you think of that one?
I don't want anything to do with Wanda and blah, blah, blah.
Lyon.
It's just gross.
Lyon versus...
Why have you got videos of Mauro Icardi in bed?
Because it was on Twitter.
This is what happens when you finish Netflix. Not only has Chris finished Netflix, Chris is in the darkest corners of Pornhub.
Lyon versus PSG. Who's going to win that one, Emma?
Lyon, I think.
Okie dokie. Right, let's go back to the Premier League. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. You're going to be happy with this because Liverpool are away to West Ham.
Another 12:30. Loves the 12:30
kickoff. Doesn't he just? In the Julian Dix derby, Jared Bowen is back. Diogo Jota stroke Costa is out. West Ham's last eight in the league. They've drawn five, lost two, and won one. So surely if they need a team to sort of get a win against, it's going to be this disintegrated Liverpool team. They've won one out of four in the league, including the Atalanta loss. Talks of Julian Lopetegui taking over at West Ham next season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate that for them.
No, I don't think so either. Famously patient fan base, West Ham. Non-combustible Julian Lopetegui. That's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, great.
Two new managers, Chris, because in a lovely bit of breaking news, Liverpool have just announced they've agreed a compensation deal for Slot.
Oh, and he's Slot.
Yeah.
He's got a funny name.
Yeah. Let's look forward to that slotty football.
I literally know knack all about him, other than the fact he's won the league and done quite well. But there we go. But
he's a bald guy, right?
And he's bold.
Yeah.
We all remember the risk you take from signing strikers from Holland. So, like, his manager's just as bad.
Yes.
Look at Erik ten Hag.
I mean, will he be the next Ruud van Nistelrooy or the next Alphonso Alves?
Yeah, like I said, ten Hag is just there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's your sacrificial lamb, I guess.
I guess so. Call me Zabby.
Yeah,
call
you don't
me.
You don't want to be the guy who follows Klopp. You want to be the guy who follows the guy who follows Klopp.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so West Ham versus Liverpool. What's going to happen in this? West Ham are going to win, aren't they?
West Ham.
Adam, are you the same?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Mad question to ask.
Well, no. What you hope to win, but what you think will win, sorry.
Yeah, Liverpool just rubbish.
Can we just end the season now?
It's not good.
Can we just settle on third place? No. Can we just say that's fine? We've got third place. You guys carry on.
Is there a chance that they can finish lower than third?
Ooh. No, I don't think it is. Tottenham was way far behind.
It's disappointing.
All right. 12 points left to play for. So yeah, I mean they could because Aston Villa could overtake them because they're only 8 points behind. Feasibly, there are 18 points left for Spurs to get there on 60 points. Liverpool still need 5 points to be sure of Champions League qualification.
So imagine if they didn't qualify.
All right.
It would be so funny.
Well, it's not Emma. Coming to that, is it?
Bloody hell. I appear to have chat on Emma's chips in the last week.
You know that I want the funniest possible outcome for everything. And for me, that's
the funniest possible outcome is always the worst possible outcome for Liverpool.
Correct.
Oh, let's move on quickly then. Fulham versus Crystal Palace, 3 o'clock in the Andy Johnson Derby. Okay, this is a quiz. Alex Iwobi could be the fourth Nigerian to get to 250 Premier League games after who?
Kanu.
Yes.
Joseph Yobo.
No. Although it was an Everton player.
Nkubu?
Mm-hmm. Last one's a Newcastle legend. Got many brothers. Come on. All the Newcastle fans are currently... They're currently pausing whoever they're beheading and shouting at you the name of this person.
I do hear that happens a lot in the Northeast.
Shola Amiobi.
Oh,
come on.
What? He's not a real Nigerian.
Nigeria.
Wow. I think, to be honest. Go on.
That's a trick question with Shola, isn't it?
Daily Mail reader Adam Scott Allen, what are you saying?
I don't know. I mean, Alex Iwobi is a little bit...
Fulham have lost their last two at home. Crystal Palace have won their last three in the league, securing safety, including Anfield. So,
and they were great.
Yeah, all right. Emma, bloody hell.
Crystal Palace are my new favourite team. I think they're great. Seriously, low key, they're fun.
Invited you on this podcast 5 years ago as a way of venting your anger at losing in the Champions League, and this is where we end up.
You created a monster. That's your fault.
Poor Joseph Yobo. He got to 220.
Did he?
Yeah, close, didn't
it? Oh, he should have tried harder.
Maybe 228, depending on what division Norwich were and when he played for them on loan.
Oh, when was he on loan there? When was he on loan there?
2014 in the Premier League. He's not, 228 games.
Oh, there you go.
Not bad, is it?
Okay. Manchester United versus Burnley in the Richard Eckersley Derby at 3 o'clock. United have conceded 76 goals in all competitions. That's the most in 45 years. A win puts Burnley level on points with Forest. They've won 2, drawn 4, lost 1 in their last 7. They've currently conceded 69 goals. I only put that in because it's funny.
The sex number.
Actually, it's the third time I've said the number 69 actually in this podcast, so there we go.
Do you count them in your head?
No, I just realised as I was saying.
He said breast earlier too.
Lol.
Multiple times as well.
Well, look, if they can see
the world's worst Sesame Street.
If they can see it anymore, I wouldn't be able to say it because that'd be a mouthful. So how do we think this game's going to go? I don't think this is a easy game to predict, to be honest.
I mean, it's pretty easy.
Is it?
Well, I'm just going to look at it and go on vibes.
Yeah. Okay, what do your vibes tell you?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Sorry?
I've lost track of what game we're talking about.
Manchester United versus Burnley.
I was looking up Joseph Yobo.
Okay, Manchester United versus Burnley.
Okay, like vibes.
Yeah.
Man United will win still. I mean, they're bad.
Yeah, Man United will win. vibes.
They win a lot of games just badly. They don't do anything good.
Okay. Newcastle versus Sheffield United, 3 o'clock. The Keith Gillespie derby.
Newcastle will move on.
Do you think? No, no. Okay, I will move on, but in a second because I've written these things down. And if I've written them down, I've taken the time to do it. Newcastle's last 25 games.
The number 69 in there again for some reason, isn't
it? No, it's not. It's just I read this and written it down, so I'm going to say it. Newcastle's last 25 games starting at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. They've won 16, drawn 8 and only lost 1, so it's a good time for them to play. Alexander Izak scored his last 6 at St James's Park, and on a Saturday, Sheffield United lost 16 out of 18 games this season.
Good for them.
Does that mean anything?
No. It means they're rubbish.
Okay. Wolves versus Luton, 3 o'clock in the...
The thing is, they've lost the same percentage of games on Sunday as well. There's no better day to play. They just generally lose.
They'll beat the record here. This is where they got the 100th goal.
Well, Newcastle beat them 8-0.
It happens tomorrow.
Do you think? Because Newcastle beat them 8-0 in the return fixture, didn't they?
That's exactly why I think it's going to happen again.
That'd be brilliant. I'd love that. Wolves versus Luton, 3 o'clock in the Super Stevie Claridge Derby. You're lucky I'm not singing that. Luton have won 1 out of 13. They've drawn 3 and lost 9.
Why are you singing? You've already serenaded me once today.
I have.
Stay with me.
It'll haunt you forever.
Yeah.
Wolves are winless in 7. They've drawn 2 and lost 5, including they've lost their last 4 at home. So.
Good time to put Luton then.
Yeah. Emma?
Sure.
Okay. Everton versus
Always
Brentford.
Always a good time to play Luton.
Any time is. Everton versus Brentford, 5:30 in the Marcus Bent Derby. Now, Everton have played 3 times away on a Saturday this season, and they won all 3 at 5:30. They won all 3 of them. But that was away. At home, they've lost 4 times at home on a Saturday at 5:30 kickoff. Now, this one's at home, Adam. So they won't like it.
You've got a very... Okay. Have you been on some sort of weird kickoff time website?
No.
A lot of kickoff time statistics.
Chris is just a world-class Googler.
No, he famously is not a world-class
So let me say that again. Everton...
I understood it.
We have comprehended the information.
Okay.
My point is just, you've given me a lot of facts around kickoff time.
Rather than who's playing and who's injured.
Yeah.
In the sort of 6 games that we've done so far.
Okay.
It's a very kickoff time focus.
So does that help make your decision? Surely it does, because they keep losing at 5:30 on a Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Gamblers fantasy, that is though, Chris, isn't it?
They've lost their last 4 at home, kicking up at 5:30 on a Saturday.
Do you think that a 5:30 versus 3 o'clock kickoff is a significant variable in a football game?
What if the referee blows his whistle?
Answer the question.
What if the referee blows his whistle at 5:30 and Dominic Calvert-Lewin refuses to take kickoff for a minute? Does that make any difference?
Or he just like rushes him and gets him to do it at 5:29.
Yeah.
What if we set all the clocks in Goodison Park forward 5 minutes?
That could work.
Trick the referee.
Yeah. That could work indeed. Who do you think's going
to
win then?
And the game is already 5 minutes gone.
Given all these scenarios then, who's going to win? If anyone.
I think Everton can still win this.
Yeah, Emma?
Well, I think the second half of the game against Liverpool was like borderline sexually exciting for Sean Dyche.
Yeah, but that was 5:30 on a Saturday.
So maybe they've still got good vibes. I don't know.
Okay. I'm very much basing this on just a continuing of vibe.
I base all of this on vibes, always.
Yeah.
So vibes. I like Brentford though.
Emma, how do you think Sean Dyche?
The vibes are good.
Emma, how do you think Sean Dyche looks his moment of sexual excitement? What sort of...
I'm pretty sure I saw it when Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored in the second half.
That's only a face Mrs. Dyche should see, staring up at her.
I sure didn't want to see it.
No.
gross. Yeah.
Aston Villa versus Chelsea, 8 o'clock in the Andy Townsend derby. Yeah. Douglas Luiz and Cole Palmer are available. One back from illness, one back from suspension. Aston Villa last 6 in the league. They won 3, drawn 2. And they've never lost a Saturday evening game that kicks off late. They've never lost a game on a Saturday evening that kicks off later than 7 p.m. They've won 3, drawn 1.
Is that in the Premier League?
Yes.
What about
saving? That's probably like a sample size of about 3.
What, 4? I just said 1-3, drawn 1.
Ah, there you go. I guess it was a good guess.
Hang on, let me see. Bear with me, caller. You carry on previewing the game and I'll have a look.
We very rarely have a game post 5:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
Sky's been doing... We've had some funky kickoff times this season.
Yeah, what is the deal with that?
Yeah, those 3:30 kickoff games, Sky and I need to have a word.
Oh. Some of them have been really inconvenient.
Because I don't even hate the 3:30 kickoff time, but what I want it is I want it on a Sunday when there's NFL football, so I don't have to make a decision between red zone, because the move from 4 to 4:30 is a ball ache.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Red zone always wins, though.
Yeah.
Right, Sunday. 2 o'clock is Bournemouth versus Brighton in the Glen Murray derby.
Hold on, Chris. What? Chris. What? I appreciate leaving it, but we literally have not really mentioned this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you're too focused on time slots again.
Sorry. Go on, carry on. What do you reckon? How's this one going to go?
Well, the vibes are not in Chelsea's favour.
All the time.
They are most certainly not.
No,
vibes in Chelsea's favour.
But Cole Palmer is back.
Oh, vibes in Villa.
Are we saying that he owns the vibes?
Can I have an unpopular opinion about Cole Palmer? Can I just express it? Like with the meme of the man with all the swords pointing at him.
Mm-hmm.
He scores too many penalties to be considered rated as highly as people are rating him. Loads of his goals have been penalties, and undoubtedly he's a very good player. I just don't think he's the messiah that people are claiming him to be, because a lot of his goals this season have been penalties.
He's an English player who can take penalties. You should be like him from the rooftops.
Bring him on in the 120th minute.
What happens if you take Mohamed Salah's penalty away from him?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Not as world class as you think he is.
We're getting a bit Joe Root maths, where people say if you take Joe Root's centuries away from him, he's a very average player.
But you're the one doing it.
I know I am. So I guess I'm being a bit unfair. Okay.
I would just say that he's not predominantly a goal scorer, right? So he's currently top of the. He's currently in the chat with the Golden Boot.
All right. Well, Cole, if you listen to this, I'm very sorry.
Cole Palmer does have to fight his teammates before he takes a penalty sometimes.
That's
so
true. Well.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Even if he scores all those penalties, they don't even want to take them.
Cole, I'm very sorry. Sunday, Bournemouth.
How many penalties do you think he's taken as well?
I think he's taken a lot. I'm going to guess at 8. I'm going to guess at 8 this season. You're going to Google it. Okay.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, yeah.
Sunday, 2 o'clock is Bournemouth versus Brighton in the Glen Murray derby. Bournemouth, okay. They have lost 67.5% of all Premier League games they played on a Sunday.
At this particular time?
That's across the whole day.
The time slot? Oh, okay. The whole day.
That's the whole day. So they lose over two-thirds of the games they play on a Sunday.
Okay, great.
Maybe they're full up on communion wine or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Although they are unbeaten at home in 6, so I guess not many of those should have taken place on a Sunday. Brighton's last...
Bad news to you, it's 9 penalties.
Is it? Well, there you go.
Oh, you were close, though.
Yeah. Brighton's last 27 Premier League games, they won 6, drawn 11 and lost 10. Only Burnley, Forest and Sheffield United have lost more games since September, and somehow Brighton is still 11th.
Premier League never missed a penalty good.
Either. He's never missed a penalty. Excellent. Sorry, Emma, what did you say?
Is it the Premier League really isn't very good?
No, it doesn't appear to be, does it?
Like, a lot of bad teams are, like, high in the league, and they shouldn't be.
Sorry, Adam. Brighton's last 27 Premier League games, they won 6, drawn 11, lost 10. So only Burnley, Forest and Sheffield United have got a worse record since September, yet somehow they're still 11th, is what I was saying.
Points will count the same, depends when you score them, doesn't it?
I guess so. I think that is the last of the daytime references.
not confident though, are you?
Unless I missed them out.
He wrote them. You wrote them. Yeah, but
I don't know in what order. Spurs versus Arsenal, 2 o'clock, the Pat Jennings derby.
Also, this game's happened at 2 o'clock on a Sunday loads.
What, Spurs Arsenal?
Yeah.
You think? This has got 4:30 on a Sunday vibes about it.
No, absolutely not. The police are not wanting this game at 4:30. That's too much time in the pub.
Oh, OK. Richarlison's available. Spurs haven't played since the 4-0 loss to Newcastle at St James's Park. Their last 12 home games, they've got 0 clean sheets. Arsenal have got 16 clean sheets and won 24 Premier League games so far this season, which is a shame because it won't win them the league, I imagine. how do you think this one's going to go?
Vibes say Arsenal.
Yeah, Adam?
My gut says this is where hilarity happens.
Oh.
What's the difference?
I mean, we had this conversation.
I mean, I called this weeks ago.
He did. He really did.
What's the difference between guts and vibes?
If you know, you know.
That means you don't.
That's right.
That means neither of you do.
No. He's right. If you know, you know.
Yeah, well, you don't.
Yeah, but I know there's a good vibe.
But you know that you don't know, and I know that you don't know.
I know that Spurs have had a bad vibe.
Fair enough. Finally.
No, there is a difference, Chris, because I agree that the vibes are saying, the vibes are with Arsenal, but my gut is telling me that either Arsenal are going to do something hilarious, or Spurs are going to do something mischievous.
Okay, how many red cards will there be?
2.
Well, maybe none.
Okay.
That's not necessarily whether, but that's not what, my gut isn't got any hard feelings on red card.
Right. Are you thinking something like Aaron Ramsdale gets picked and he accidentally kicks the ball into his own net or something?
But I think instead of into his own net, I'm more thinking sort of like into the back of William Saliba's head.
Oh! In the...
It'll be real Arsenal-ing.
In the Central Asian Football Association under 18 ladies game this week, the women's game, sorry,
the whore football
one of the babes, she basically did a Chris Wood. She was a striker, so she wellied the ball from very close range at the goal, hit the post from Chris Wood sort of range, the ball rebounded out, hit the defender in the face, square in the face, knocked her out clean cold, and the ball went out for a corner. After much sort of treatment on the pitch, they put her on a stretcher, and as they're stretching her off behind the goals, the corner comes in, and someone heads the ball pretty much at the stretcher as well by mistake. So,
I would like to see that happen at the Arsenal game. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone see the clip in the Coventry game the other that I saw on Instagram today where the defender stops the ball from crossing the line because it hits him in the back of the head as he slides into the goal. And literally stops it crossing the line by, like, 2 mil.
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Finally, Ben...
Has real Chris Etchingham energy as well, so I think he's enjoyed it.
You've seen me play, have you?
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, I feel that this is your vibe.
Oh, you'd okay.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would have done. I shall have to look that up. Was that in the Hull game or the game against United?
The whole game.
Okay, I shall have a look. Nottingham Forest versus Manchester City, finally in the Gary Crosby header derby, 4:30. Erling Haaland is a doubt. Forest last 9. They won 1, drawn 3, lost 5. They got 1 clean sheet in 25 games. City has scored 4...
Surely this is a game that Rodri doesn't play.
Since he scored four or more in the last four Premier League games, Alvarez, not Alcaraz, 17 goals and 13 assists this season, so they might not even need Erling Haaland. Though, this game finished 1-1 last season when Forest really needed the points in a similar situation.
Okay.
Does that make a difference?
Man City have the OG Cole Palmer, so...
Are you both going
for... we all know that Nottingham Forest would have a flawless record and be champions if it wasn't for VAR. So...
Yeah, what team does the VAR referee support?
Yeah, where does he come from? I mean, that poor Stuart...
This is going to be a problem.
That poor Stuart Atwell. I did look at the thing the other day that someone posted, where the referees came from and who they supported. Poor Stuart Atwell supports Luton Town and he's from Dunedin. I mean, the man can't catch a break, really. So that's a very niche Midlands joke.
Do we know that he supports Luton?
Yes.
Yeah, are you basing this on the Nottingham Forest statement?
No, someone found on, I don't know if it's the referees PGMOL website or something like that, it was every single Premier League referee, where they're from, and what team they support. And it's really funny because Jared Gillett's from Queensland.
In Australia?
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Matt, you need a higher bar for humour as well if you think that's funny.
What? I mean, you know, it's not like...
I wanted a punchline, but it wasn't one.
Yeah, it's really funny. He's in Queensland.
It's not funny as in a Tim Vine joke funny or, you know, anything like that. But it's funny as in strange.
Unexpected.
Time, yes. It? Rather than funny, it's unexpected. Right, okay, that brings the end of our Premier League roundup, end of our Premier League previews, end of the podcast. Any other business for anybody?
No, Christopher, I haven't got any other business.
Right, so Dave and Chris and Simon will be back on Monday to review the games that we've been previewing. You can find us on iTunes, which I guess you know because you're listening to us here. You can find us on Man of the Post at Twitter and Instagram. Give us a like on Facebook as well. Adam and Emma, muchas gracias. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Christopher. And over... See. Si. Yes, si, senor. And always remember to keep your Man of the Post.